The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We are thankful for all the rain that we've had this week. Hopefully that'll break our wintertime drought. And we can also be thankful that we don't have to scoop rain. And so this time of the year, that is an extra special blessing. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. We are nearing the end of our Lenten journey and rejoicing with Christ at the cross and empty tomb. And today we are in a Sunday where we are asking God to judge us and judge us rightly and judge us fairly, not on behalf of who we are and what we do, but on behalf of God's Son and what He has done for us. Our opening hymn, number 606, I Lay My Sins on Jesus. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Note the Lenten responses and also the insert that we have. The different readings and such are there. We'll direct you to that. During this Lenten season, we refrain from singing our hymn of praise. We'll sing it anew on Easter. 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Lutheran theology, which clearly expresses what God's Word teaches, there is a great exchange that goes on. Our sin for Christ's righteousness. And it is a wonderful, great exchange. On a far lesser note, we are having a great exchange today. We're always sending the vicars once a month down to Hickman, and so today we have Pastor Russert helping out with the service. And it's been a while since he's been helping on Wednesdays, but it's been a while since he's been here on Sunday morning, so make sure that we give him a wonderful welcome and greeting as well. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day, especially for the gift of Your Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Heavenly Father, it is a great mystery that You, in Your love, would send Your Son, Your only Son, whom You love, to be our substitute and Savior from sin. Heavenly Father, help us always to give thanks to You for Your great love and live our lives in joyous response to the greatest gift the world has ever seen. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 606.
I lay my sins on.
Service setting one, page 151. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man,
peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. O Lord, be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual as you find it on the front of your bulletin insert. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
You delivered me from my enemies. You rescued me from the hand of violence.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater, more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of heifer sanctifies the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them for the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. We sing the Lenten verse on top of page 157. According to St. John, the 8th chapter. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Who died, and the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I did not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do not know Him, and I keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw them at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and we sing our hymn of the day, hymn 438, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth.
truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, dear friends in Christ. You can't have Jesus only as a good teacher. You can't have Jesus simply as your friend, your companion. You can't have Jesus solely as a wise philosopher or a giver of advice. You can't make Jesus a saint, a doer of good deeds, a banner for political or social causes, without considering these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Anyone who claims to have any opinion about Jesus must deal with these words. They cannot be ignored. They came from the same lips that said nice things like, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. The same man who did nice things like, just before our text, saving an adulterous woman from mob execution. The same Jesus who said all of those wise sayings that we love to hear. The same Jesus who did all those kind things that we want to emulate also said, before Abraham was, I am. Decades ago, the Christian thinker C.S. Lewis said that when you are confronted with the question, what do you think of Jesus? You have only three options. Either Jesus is a lunatic, that is, he thinks he is God and he really isn't. Or else Jesus is a liar, that is, he knows he isn't God and is the most successful con man in history, or maybe the least successful con man in history. Or he is the Lord. That is, he knows he is God and he's telling you so. The Jews understood this dilemma perfectly. They actually listened to the words of Jesus, all of his words. Imagine that. And they understood what he meant by them better than most people today. Better than any political interest group, any social activist organization, better than many Christians, these Jews took Jesus and his words seriously. They looked beyond the miraculous healings and the wise sayings, and they saw the fundamental claim of Jesus. I am God walking this earth in the flesh, and all who believe in me have life in my name. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. They heard Jesus loud and clear. They understood him perfectly. And they gave an answer. This Jesus, he's either a lunatic or he's a liar, but he is certainly not the Lord. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? You see, the Jews didn't want Jesus as their teacher. The Jews didn't want him as their friend. They cared little for his wise sayings, and they despised his acts of mercy because they rejected who he claimed to be. Why take the advice of a crazy person? Why appreciate the miracles of a con man? Why befriend a liar? You see, they were much more honest than many who deal with Jesus today, who superficially follow Jesus, who see him as an advocate for a cause, the companion that we lack in this world. We think we can have Jesus without dealing with the words of our text. But the Jews knew better. They took Jesus' claims seriously, and they rejected them. They didn't want a superficial Jesus. They didn't want Jesus as a banner or a slogan for their favorite cause. They didn't want a Jesus who made them feel better about themselves. If Jesus wasn't God, as he claimed to be, then he was of no value to them. They took Jesus seriously. They took the question, "What do you think of Jesus?" seriously, and they gave their answer loud and clear. There's only one problem. They're dead wrong. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Any false view of Jesus dishonors him. Any view that calls him a liar or a lunatic, as much as any view that doesn't take his claims seriously. Jesus is dishonored when people call him simply a good teacher. He is dishonored when his compassion for the sick and the needy is emphasized at the expense of his claims to divinity. He is dishonored when you think of him simply as a good friend or companion, but not as your Savior, not as your Lord. He is dishonored when his salvation is minimized or ignored, when his cross is skipped over in favor of his teachings or miracles. Jesus tells us in our text what is important about him. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews took his claims of salvation seriously. They actually listened to him. They heard him loud and clear. "Now we know you have a demon," they said. "Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death." They bring forth Abraham as their expert witness, claiming that he testifies against Jesus by the simple fact that he's still dead. Pretty easy to be a witness that way. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" But Jesus takes their witness, as he so often does, and turns him against them. "Abraham knew of Jesus and confessed him. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham rejoiced when he saw the day of Jesus, in the promise of God that in his family, in Abraham's family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham rejoiced when he saw the day of Jesus and God's provision of a ram in place of his son Isaac. He saw that day when the very Lamb of God would be the substitute for all sinful people, when that lamb would be placed upon the altar instead of Isaac or Abraham, you or me. He saw that day coming, and he was glad. You see, he didn't call the name of that place, that mountain, "The Lord has provided." Instead, he called it, "The Lord will provide." And you know what? Thousands of years later, it would be just outside the city walls of the city built on that very mountain where God would provide the lamb for the sacrifice. Once for all people, once for all sin. For it is God Himself who testifies to Jesus, who glorifies Him, who honors Him. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.'" You see, Jesus takes their every witness away from them. Not only does Abraham testify to Jesus as Lord, but God the Father, whom they claim to worship, claims Jesus as His own Son. The Father glorifies His Son. Jesus doesn't seek after His own glory. He doesn't grasp that glory, that honor from men that is truly and rightfully His. He will wait patiently for the Father to glorify Him, to witness to His identity through every nation, to every corner of this world. "I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and He is the judge." And the Father will seek the glory of His Son. He glorified His Son when the angels sang at His birth, when the Magi came from the east bearing great gifts. He glorified His Son when He testified to His identity at His baptism in the Jordan on the mountain of transfiguration. But these were simply previews, glimpses of the glory that was yet to come. Glory that would begin in the most incredible, the strangest of ways. For when Jesus is nailed to a tree, when He is lifted up high upon a cross, at that very moment when the Jews pointed at Him and said, "I knew He was a liar or a lunatic," at that moment, the Father is glorifying His Son. He is glorifying Jesus as the sacrifice for the sin of the world. He is glorifying Jesus as the Lamb who substitutes for us, you and me, as the ram substituted for Isaac. As the sun is darkened and the earth quakes, God is glorifying His Son as your Savior. He is given bloody glory as the deliverer of all people from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That is who Jesus is. Not a liar, not a lunatic, not simply a good teacher, wise philosopher, good buddy, or political activist, but your Savior. The proof is 3 days later, as Jesus leaves an empty tomb behind. From there, He passes from glory to glory, being ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, His rightful place, from whence He will return on the last day, when all people will bow the knee and give to Him the honor, the glory that is His due. Some with joy and gladness, the very joy and gladness of Abraham. Some with weeping and gnashing of teeth. The terrible realization that having dishonored Jesus, they have dishonored the Father. That Jesus' words are true. "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. That's why they reject Him. While they take His words seriously, they refuse to believe them. You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? I don't think in their wildest dreams they could have predicted what Jesus would say next. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The world so often doesn't take these words seriously. It fails to understand them, but the Jews definitely did. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They knew what Jesus claimed. They know that with this simple phrase, Jesus isn't just saying, I was around before Abraham, but that He is the God of Abraham. The very one who would later speak to Moses from the burning bush. True God from eternity. Liar, lunatic, Lord, they give their answer loud and clear. And it will be just a matter of time before Jesus hides himself no longer and they nail him to a tree. What do you think of Jesus? Is he a liar, lunatic, Lord? Is he simply a good teacher, a wise companion in life's journey, an example of compassion, the friend you cannot find anywhere else? Or is he your Savior? Is he simply good for you in this life to help you make it through your day? Or is he of eternal significance? So many churches and so many pastors focus on the former, but St. Paul says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. A Jesus who only helps us during our life in this world is pretty much worthless. And those who follow Him are most to be pitied. He did not come so that your life in this world would be comfortable and then you spend eternity in hell. Jesus tells us why He came. If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Jesus has come to give you eternal life, to deliver you from the bonds and shackles of sin and death. Jesus has come to forgive all your sins by dying in your place. Jesus has come so that you will live forever. Through the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus was vindicated. He was proven to be the Son of God and the sacrifice for the sin of the world. Through the cross and the empty tomb, the Father was vindicated as He was proven just and loving, exacting justice upon Jesus to show love to you. And through the cross and the empty tomb, you are vindicated. You are rescued from your enemies. You are made right with your God. You are justified, declared righteous in God's sight through the death and resurrection of Jesus for you. That is a Jesus worthy of honor. That is a Jesus worthy of joy and gladness. That is the Jesus glorified by His Father. Not a lunatic, not a liar, but your Savior and your Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Having heard the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we stand and we confess our common Christian faith. in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father.
The prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes. We remember Good Shepherd member Cassie Borneman, hospitalized in Omaha. Good Shepherd member Elaine Egner, who will undergo surgery this coming week. We pray for Good Shepherd member Dorothy White, who was hospitalized briefly this week and is now home. And we give thanks for successful surgery for Bob Van Valkenburg. We pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for the sins of the world. In His earthly ministry, He suffered much persecution for the sake of our salvation. As You ministered to Him in His time of need, so minister to those around the world who suffer for Your name's sake. Protect them from every danger to body and soul. Strengthen them through Your word to make the good confession without fear. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank You, merciful Father, for our partner churches around the world who share in our blessed fellowship around altar, font, and pulpit. We especially give thanks for the work of Dr. Allman in Germany and Pastor Preuss in the Dominican Republic. Give us lips to sing Your glory and tongues to speak Your holy name. Always keep us steadfast in the saving doctrine of the blessed apostles drawn from Your holy word. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy Father, continue to bless all pastors in Christ, especially those who are given the task of administration among us. Keep them ever focused on the one thing needful, the forgiveness of sins given in the innocent suffering and death of Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, we thank You for the gift of family and for all relations and friends You give to us. Grant Your blessings upon all families, especially those who are broken at this time, and give to them what they need for the nourishment of their body. Especially do we pray for the nourishment of their souls in the gifts of forgiveness and life given in Your holy church. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, You loved us when we were far off and granted us Your salvation. Though our sins brought Your Son to the cross, we pray for our enemies and all who hate us. Take all bitterness from our hearts, that we may forgive those who trespass against us, as you richly forgive us every day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all who suffer in body and soul with your healing hand. According to your will, return them to good health and sound strength. Give to each of us every good thing that we need to support in this body and life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, in holy baptism, you have called us to be Christians and granted us the remission of our sins. Make us ready to receive the most holy body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all our sins. And grant us grateful hearts that we may give thanks to you, dear Father, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God's good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. This time we worship God with our gifts and offerings. We continue now with the offertory. The offertory is on the bottom of page 159. Please stand as you're able.
What shall I render to the Lord? I will pay my vows to the Lord.
up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the
Body of Christ.
heart now and joy are vindicated by the death and life of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Continue now with the Nunc Dimittis. Please stand as you're able.
Lord, let your servant go in.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 422. 422. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go get some goodies and then be back in here in about, 5 or 6 minutes and we'll have our Sunday school opening. You're all invited to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study this morning. Continue our look at the formula of Concord. We're looking at the doctrine of good works and the role that they play in the life of a Christian, and summary of Christian doctrine, room 109. What are we studying there, Pastor? Who is Jesus? That ties in very well with our theme for the day and your message. As I mentioned before, Vicar is in Hickman. We pray God's blessings upon his delivery of the word there. Thanks to Pastor Russert for helping out this morning. Check out the news and notes. A lot of activities happening. There's also a worship schedule in there for all the services, extra services during Holy Week. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We'll begin both services with a procession of palms. So, got kids that want to participate, come just a couple minutes early, and we'll get organized. We have to catechize Vicar on how to do it, but we've got a whole week to do that, so I'm not worried about getting him ready. We have one more Wednesday where we have our church services at 12:15 and 6:30 in the evening. This Wednesday we'll conclude our look at Isaiah 52 and 53. The Boy Scouts are providing the fellowship meal from 5 to 6:15 this Wednesday, and lots of the scouts and their families were here yesterday for our cleanup day as well. So thanks to everybody that was able to help and participate to spruce things up on the outside of the building. Pastor, anything else? We've got lots of sign-up sheets out there, Easter lilies, Easter breakfast. The almond emphasis for the year or for the Lenten season is out there. Check all those things out. Participate where you can. We emptied out our food barrels recently for the Lincoln Area Food Pantry. And so if you have some non-perishable goods that you can share with us, that would be great. We are in desperate need for other tangible ways of help. Gas cards, grocery cards. We have a lot of hurting people right now. So if you can help out in that respect, go talk to the script ladies in the library and they'll help you out. I think that's all. Have a great day and week in the name of Jesus.